This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week, with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
So happy for the happy hour. Welcome back to Gwen and Chris. This hour brought to you by Prize Picks. Cash in on baseball's big moments with Prize Picks. That's America's number one fantasy sports app. Use the code KWFN for a first deposit matchup to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Speaking of fantasy sports, Crisello, Matt Scraby here on Gwen and Chris, 97.3 The Fan. Tony Gwynn Jr. idle today. But speaking of fantasy sports, Scraby is all up in my business here. Trying to get me to join his fantasy baseball league.
I'm not trying.
That you miraculously won last year.
It was stiff competition. Just a good baseball mind took me to the title.
You know what's funny is earlier today he was telling me, you know, I just joined. These people all stink.
That's not what I said. It's like the easiest competition ever. They're all listening. I did not say that.
He said that.
I did not.
He said you guys were just a piece. Anybody could win.
No.
There's a piece of cake. They didn't pay attention. They didn't know what they were doing.
I said there were certain teams in the league where if you did not win 8-2 or 9-1, it was basically a loss.
Well, that sounds like a pretty good put down to me.
Everybody has a bad year in fantasy sports. I have a lot of them. I just happened to win last year.
All right. Well, Scraby wants me in his league. I know the people in the league would like me in the league. I appreciate it. It's nice to be wanted.
You are in the league. It's not even a question anymore.
The name of the stupid league is Scraby's World or whatever.
The Kingdom.
Oh, yeah. Even worse. The name of the league is Scraby's Kingdom.
I didn't name it.
Why would I want to be in any league that is named Scraby's Kingdom?
Because it's a great league.
I'm already in a fantasy baseball league.
But you hate that league.
I hate it because I stink.
This is a league.
And I admit it, man. I get blown away by these guys every year. They are the most. You think I'm a sports fan? What is like 10 steps beyond what I am, Scrabe?
An obsessive lunatic.
Yeah.
Lunatic.
These guys I play with are incredible. It's so funny. During the regular season, Scrabe, you'll go, have you heard of this guy, Spencer or Ryan Noda?
Yeah, something.
And he's like a minor league third baseman for the, you know, Nationals or something.
Yeah.
And Scraby go, I heard he's like a really, you should pick him up.
I heard he's coming up.
Yeah, I heard he's coming up. You should pick him up. I'm like, forget it, Scrabe. They already picked him up 2 weeks ago. I mean, I can never get anybody in that league.
There's something about the way too serious fantasy
player that
I cannot get behind.
I know.
It's just fantasy sports.
I know. My wife tells me every year, so maybe it's time you get out of that league. And I said, you know what? There's that competitive thing in me. I've been beaten down by these guys for so many years, you know, that I want to get them one time.
Yeah, but
it's hard to get them
because
they're so good.
They are. But what I'm saying is, like, I think that it's slightly strange when someone is way too good at fantasy sports.
Yeah, these guys are good.
Because literally people will leave work. People will do things to go pick up players. People will pay people.
I believe I do everything. I change my lineup every day. I look at baseballreference.com or what is it? Baseballlineups.com.
Yes.
Every day to make sure my players are in the lineup.
Yeah.
I mean, I do everything I think I can do, but I can't keep up with these guys.
Yeah.
I got to win it one time. I just, you know, I've been in the hunt before.
Feels
but I mean,
good,
not the
it?
Last couple of years, but I have been in the hunt, but I've never won.
It feels good, doesn't it?
Being yeah,
in the
I'd
hunt.
Like to win. But your league, to me, I feel like Tony Gwynn going out to have to play Wednesday night softball.
Okay, no.
I feel like in the reason Tony won't ever agree to do that is that the expectations would be ridiculous, and if he didn't hit a home run every single time at bat, everybody would think he was a failure.
Okay, let's talk about
that. I feel like I'm getting into your fantasy baseball league, and you know, if I'm just a middling seventh place, it's just going to be a loss situation for me.
I don't think so.
And if I win, it'll be like, oh, you know, well, we knew it.
I tried to get Tony to do the league with us, but Tony said he won't because of the reason of I should win. Technically, I should win because I'm a professional baseball player calling games for the Padres. I don't see you guys losing as a bad thing because fantasy sports is the weirdest thing in the world. You could have the worst team end up in the playoffs and win. So, there you go.
Well, I haven't signed up yet.
Oh, our guy, Brandon, who's in the league, he just chatted. It's okay, Chris. It's my first time, too. Well, you better...
Yes,
if you bail
Brandon,
on this league, I will
nobody,
be angry.
But Brandon, nobody is going to... Brandon's not going to have to be on the radio in August with you saying, Chris, you're like in eighth place. You suck.
I'll be totally cool about it.
Oh, I bet.
I'll be totally.
There's nobody. Well, you know, when it comes to being cool.
But what about the other way? What
nobody
if you,
quite like you.
What if you just tear it up and you're in first place and you get to hold it over my head all year?
I already know me. And if I'm in first place, I'm going to feel like I'm supposed to be there and I'm not going to have any say over you.
Mm.
But if I'm in last place, I'll be walking in here in August. Scraby going, oh, Chris, where are you? Last place?
It's probably true.
It is true.
But I think you should. You're
That's why
going
I don't
to
want
do
to sign up.
You're going to do
That's
it.
That's why I don't want to sign up. Eric is out there still on the phone. We were talking about the Padres earlier. Eric, thanks for waiting.
Yeah.
Did you want to chat Padres? Or is that kind of where you're still
yeah,
at? Okay,
well,
good. Where are you?
Yeah, we'll love you. Good to talk to you guys actually this way for the first time.
Yeah, Christopher's the fans.
My radio hasn't.
Yesterday.
Yeah, my radio hasn't not left 97.3 since like mid December last year.
That's a nice thing.
Every day.
Well, if I'm going to lose to anybody on Christopher's the fans, Eric, I want it to be a true
yes.
blue fan.
Yes.
So I'm happy to hear that.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I mean, you know, I'm not diehard Padres. You know, I've been here 5 years now. You know, I grew up a Braves fan. But, you know, I adopt the team because it's San Diego. Hopefully my kids grow up to like the Padres. My brother-in-law is a huge fan, all that. But this team, I feel like it kind of draws some parallels to the 21 Braves. You've got an infield full of All-Stars. And now Cronenworth and Bogarts were down last year, right? But first through third, you got All-Stars and the infield. Got a couple of catchers that people aren't really expecting a bunch from, but could actually really produce, like the Braves had, you know, Darnell and Contreras. You've got an all-star, superstar right fielder, Tatis Acuna, and you got some other guys in the outfield that you don't know what's going to happen. And you look at what the Braves did, the three MVPs of each series were acquired at the trade deadline. Soler, Rosario, and Peterson, right? All respectively won MVPs of the DS, NCS, and the World Series. So, and they got a bullpen that could be really good, but you got a bunch of guys that you're not really sure what to do, a la Will Smith, Tyler Matzek for the Braves in 21. Starting pitching's a little bit deep, but I don't see why you can't look at a team that's filled with all-stars and not be optimistic, do anything, because baseball is a weird sport. You know, like Scranton said, you barely make the playoffs and you go on to win. Like we've seen what the Phillies have done and all that kind of stuff and what the Diamondbacks did. I mean, you got talent all over the place, and, you know, Steve Michael Harris, center fielder, young kid, not to do much, that gives the cover off the ball.
Your phone's kind
Eric,
of
we're kind of losing you there, but you laid it out really nice. As I said earlier, there is no question the Padres can't look. I think they're going to win more than last year. I don't know that they can win 95. And, you know, in order for them to have a spectacular regular season, they're going to have to win 95 and push the Dodgers, because the Dodgers are winning 95, right?
Yeah.
They're winning 95 without even, you know, sweating it.
Unfortunately.
So, you know, the only other option is for the Padres to sneak in with 84 or 5 and then get a hot streak in the playoffs. And that can happen. But honestly, what the team that goes into the playoffs for the Padres, if they make it in October, is probably going to look a lot different than the one that's there now.
Yeah.
As Eric just said, his 21 Braves, they didn't have Jock Peterson, they didn't have Eddie Rosario, and they didn't have Jorge Soler at the beginning.
Yeah.
But they had them all at the end.
They did.
So
that's the only time it matters, really.
Yeah. Good point.
Good
call, Eric. Thank you.
I do think that there is, like he's saying, why wouldn't you be optimistic? And I think there is partly Padres fans, San Diego sports fans, have had so many bad things happen in the past, it's hard to be super optimistic. You co-sign that one or no?
Yeah, I am, because it's also hard to be optimistic after what happened last year. And as I said, you won 82 games, and in the minds of most people, you subtracted three of the best players in the sport.
Mm-hmm.
So how can you possibly be better? That's what a lot of people are concerned about. And I think that's a fair concern until we see what happens starting March 20th.
Yes, 3 a.m.
Yeah, 3 a.m. Scott, San Diego, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
How are you?
We're good. What's going on, Scott?
Good,
what do you got?
Good.
Sorry?
Can you hear me?
Yes, very well.
I'm calling to comment on AJ Perella and the GM job. I think that's the thing that's determinative, because it seems like he's overmanaging with this head guy leaving to the Giants. I remember when he was doing the same type of thing when he had Green, saying that Green had more than enough pitching to take it all the way. And of course, anyone who knows baseball knew that they didn't.
So you're saying AJ Preller is why they're in this issue right now?
I would say if you have someone micromanaging, a good manager is not going to come here, and we probably had a good one leave for that very reason. You know, basically, if you can't call your own shots, and it seemed like the rumors that everyone's talking about is that he micromanaged your general manager, or your coach. You got to let him be a coach.
I think you're right, and I think that AJ really probably does need to make some adjustments. Whether or not that'll happen, we don't know.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, Bob Melvin was pretty clear, without ever having to say so, that he and AJ did not see eye to eye on a lot of things.
Yeah.
And Bob Melvin, I think, felt like AJ was not going to change. AJ felt he wasn't going to change. And so they had to break up.
It is unfortunate that, like, it's unfortunate that it can come down to relationships what causes the rift. Instead of just worrying about the baseball team and worrying about wins and losses, it's relationships.
We've talked about this with so many people, and so many people have a lot of different answers about AJ, but a lot of it might just be the way he's built, the way he ticks.
True.
You know, he's not ever going to be a guy that gets 8 hours of sleep.
He may look under every single rock in the desert, but he may also
look at
you while you're looking under rocks.
Yeah, he's going to have an idea of how you should manage the team. I think in a perfect world, he would let his manager manage, but I don't know if that happens. Scott, thanks. Very good.
And there are managing and general manager partnerships that do work. I mean, there are a lot of them out there. They work together. They have to work together. So I can't. Anyway, I'm not going to go down there.
All right. Here we go. Before we go to break, I'm going to give you an opportunity right now to win tickets to tomorrow night's Aztec Boise State basketball game.
Woo-hoo!
At Viejas Arena. It's a nice prize. It's senior night. They're going to honor Ladie. They're going to honor Butler. I mean, there's a lot of great players. You're going to want to be there, not only to see the game, but pay tribute to all these kids that have given us a ton of thrills, not just last season, but this season as well. You're going to have to call in to win, and you're going to have to answer a question. You know the number, 833-288-0973. If you're dialing right now, you're wasting your time. Because Scraby's going to hang up on every single call.
Right now.
Yeah. He's going to hang up on every single call until I actually give the question. So you're going to have to listen to the question, so don't even bother to start dialing. You asked me earlier on Chris vs. the Fans, what player had the most grand slams in history?
Yes.
I confidently said Manny Ramirez.
You did.
I got buzzed because the actual answer was Alex Rodriguez.
Mm-hmm.
Only four players in the history of baseball have hit a grand slam in their very first major league at bat. One of those four,
I know,
played most of his career with the Padres.
Oh.
One of those four played most of his career with the Padres.
I don't know then.
Grand slam, first major league at bat, spent most of his career with the Padres. You name that player, you're going to the Aztec game tomorrow night against Boise State.
Is this first major league at bat?
Yes.
So it's their debut. It's not like first with the team.
First major league at bat. I don't know how to be clearer about that.
Okay, I'm sorry, because I thought...
your career, first day,
okay,
major leagues.
This is not an answer, but Brandon Drury came to mind because he hit a...
He hit a grand slam in his first Padre at bat.
Yes, correct.
That's not the question.
All right.
Grand slam, first major league at bat. Four guys have done it. One of them spent most of their career with the Padres. First person who gets that goes to the Aztec Boise State game tomorrow night. You guys are good. Somebody will get it. 833-288-0973. Let's check traffic while you're guessing.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Coos!
You okay over there?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay, good.
Chrisello, Matt Scraby, Gwynn and Chris, 97.3 The Fan. That was the cheer every time this guy came to the plate when he was a Padre. He was one of four players in the history of baseball to hit a grand slam in his first ever major league at bat. He did it with the Cleveland Indians. Soon thereafter, he became a Padre. He hit 87 career home runs. And he hit most of those with San Diego, 59 of them over 3 years. Speaking of the old third baseman, Kevin Kuzmanoff. That was the answer. Gabe came up with it. Good on you, Gabe. You
first
get to go
caller.
See the... Yeah. I knew that they would get this. This was not a brain teaser.
All of my guesses were wrong, by the way.
Yeah, you had a lot of guesses. They were off target. But you... You know, probably weren't following the Padres as closely back then.
What year was this again?
07, 08, 09 is when he played here.
Oh, those are prime and those were years.
Those were, yeah, for drinking for you and
yes.
losing for the Padres.
Yes.
They didn't win in too much of anything.
I don't really remember
when Kuz
those
was
years
here.
Anyway. So,
but yeah, the Kuz hit a grand slam in his first major league at bat, one of four players in the history of the sport. Gabe got it. He'll go see the Aztecs play Boise State tomorrow night. Good for you, Gabe. All right. We have a little a little fun in store for you in this segment. I believe the name of this segment, as so named by yours truly, is 30 Mile Zone.
If you don't know your sports gossip, can you really call yourself a sports fan? It's time to bring together sports and celebrity gossip. We call it the 30 Mile Zone, mainly so we don't get sued by the real company. On 97.3 The Fan.
All right. By the way, people know this. 30 Mile Zone is my favorite television show now.
I can't watch it.
Now that Better Call Saul has gone off the air and
hasn't that
Breaking
been off
Bad
the air for
is
years?
Over, Curb Your Enthusiasm is winding down.
Haven't all these shows been off the air for years? And not Curb Your Enthusiasm. I know that one's out right now.
Better Call Saul went till like 2022, maybe.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah, Breaking Bad ended quite a long time
ago. Yes, it did. All right, so we are going to get into some of the fringe stories that we don't usually talk about. But if you love Mediterranean food, try Spiro's for authentic Mediterranean cuisine in Coronado or La Jolla. For dining or takeout options, visit spiroscuisine.com. We talked about the frostbite, and I think we've talked about it enough. Chiefs fans suffered frostbite at the playoff game, and the doctors are now recommending amputations. And so we were talking a little bit earlier, does the NFL hold any responsibility for this? Do they need to
You're
pay
damn
medical
right
bills?
They do.
Do they need to step in and give a new hand or something like that?
I think they got to pay people for the pain and suffering, as it were.
Well, next time, don't take off your glove in a negative 27-degree wind chill so you can put up a tent.
Did every single person who got frostbite get so because they took off a glove? How do you know this?
Well, because I read that specific story. And the guy's hand looks pretty bad, and he's going to lose his finger. Gotta say, it does not look good.
I mean, that's why I said, I can't make a ruling on that story yet, but on that, you know, situation. But I am allowing it in the courtroom. I want to hear arguments for and against why the NFL should or shouldn't be responsible. They did not have to play that game that night.
Well,
oh, yes, they did, because it was on Peacock. And they needed to make their $100 million or whatever Peacock paid them.
120, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll let the court... We'll let time figure out what's going to happen with this. But I'm sure we'll hear about all these people with the amputations. You go to a football game, you come back with less digits on your hand.
Yeah, that's kind of scary. I would not have gone to that game, even if I was a possessor of tickets. And you know what a Dolphin fan I am.
Yes.
But I'm not an idiot, and I'm not going to go sit in that weather. But a lot of people are, and I think the NFL has to take some of the blame.
Taper said, did the NFL offer refunds to the Chiefs game? That, to me, is the biggest factor. I don't believe they did, because they
refunds.
Held the game. Like, didn't want to go because
if
it was too cold.
Yes. Hey, that's a very good question. See, this is why I want to open up my courtroom to this one.
All right. Next story.
But I'm
here.
Not opening up my courtroom until you buy me my wig. You're lagging on that.
I am. I haven't even looked, to be honest. I got to do that later.
Get with it.
So there's a star NFL that has done something with his facial hair that has made fans lose their mind. His name, Jalen Hurts, Eagles quarterback, shaved off his goatee, and no one can handle it because he does look different. and he looks much older for some reason. If you want to see these pictures, go to TMZ Sports to see them. But I actually had a friend tell me that she is really upset that he shaved his goatee, and she's not a goatee guy, but he was the only man, according to her, in the world that could pull off a goatee.
Jalen Hurts.
Yes. She said he looks 39 years old.
He looks much older without the goatee.
Yes, he does.
Interesting.
Here, have you seen it?
Yeah.
I thought you were on the website. So.
No, I did look at it. But
fans want him to grow it back. And the goatee, this is from a fan, the goatee gave him a harder, no-nonsense, don't-bleep-with-me look.
Yeah, whatever.
I don't think that was a part of it at all.
So. We can get a colonial wig on Amazon.com for $19.
Order it right now, Chris.
Let's go, Scrib.
I don't even know what it looks like, but order it right now.
This one looks pretty funny. We got to get it. It's a two-piece set. I think you get two.
Chris would rock the crap out of an English Parliament wig, says Taper.
That's what I want.
All right, Tom Brady. This is coming out because Apple TV Plus is putting out a documentary or already has put out the documentary called The Dynasty, New England Patriots. And Darrelle Revis, former player of the Patriots, who played one season for them. This was during the Deflategate years of 2014. Darrelle Revis here's his quote. When Deflategate happened and Tom was the headliner of the whole situation, he addressed us as a team. He was actually bawling his eyes out in front of us. According to Revis, Brady explained he would not ruin the season for his teammates, and all the claims are false. But Brady apparently was most upset because his kids dealt with hecklers at school all the time, which I don't think is cool whatsoever. I don't like that.
Yeah, that's the part of all of this that we don't really, you know, have to deal with. Our athletes or celebrities get in some sort of problem, their kids often have to deal with that.
I've told this story before, but my brother went to USD back in the day. Norv Turner's daughter was in one of his classes, and when they would lose, the Chargers would lose, have a bad loss or something like that, she would show up to class and people would taunt her, saying, "Oh, when's your dad getting fired?" I'm like, really? That's so weird to me. It's very weird. Anyway.
Yeah. I'm sure coaches get it a lot, right?
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Coaches' kids.
Now, the referees...
Especially if the team's losing a lot.
Yes. Yes. That is the worst part for them. The referees in a New Jersey high school playoff basketball game are admitting that they messed up big time. The reason that I am bringing this up is because Chris is our resident arbiter on the show. And it happened in Jersey. The Panthers were up 1 point with just under 6 seconds left. And then the Warriors, Ray Weidenzimmer, missed the three. His teammate, Griffin Lindstra, was positioned perfectly and nailed a putback right before the clock hit zeros. Warriors win, right? Everybody's running around like crazy. Warriors put it back in with 0.4 seconds left. But you know what? The referees waved it off, Chris. They said it didn't go in.
They said it didn't go in.
They said the clock expired before the shot was off. But there are many replays clearly showing that there was time left on the clock. Now, Chris, how do you handle this thing? And I'm being serious. How do I handle what? No, how do you handle, because you can't go check replay. There's no replay.
Right.
So if you realize after the fact that you made a bad call, are you going to apologize for it? Or are you going to just go on with your life? What are you doing if this is you?
Well, first of all, I'm getting it right. I mean, this is not, to me, it's not one of the most difficult calls we have as an official.
Mm-hmm.
There's a buzzer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You're looking at the ball. Is it in the hand or did it leave the hand before you hear the buzzer? One or the other.
That is tough.
It's safe or out. It's inbounds or out of bounds. Get it right. If you get it wrong, it's too bad. I mean, you make that call, you run off the court, the game's over. You're back in the locker room. You don't have any reason. You don't have any ability to look at replay.
Yeah.
You got to believe in yourself. Now, somebody shows you later you missed the call, to hang with them.
Man up.
You can man up. What are you going to do? You missed the call.
I don't know. I'm surprised that they don't have some sort of replay in high school.
Don Denkinger, missed the call at first base in the 85 World Series, and the Royals won because of it, and the Cardinals lost. Everybody saw the replay, but they didn't have replay back then. It's a hang with them.
Yeah, it is a hang with them.
There's not a whole lot you can do. They missed the call on Andres Galarraga's perfect game.
Was that Jim Joyce?
Jim Joyce.
Jim Joyce took that real hard.
Sure he did, but
which
what can he do?
It was kind of nice to see, honestly.
It was nice.
We don't have enough time, but I was going to play the coach, and he's just very upset with this whole thing. So his team goes down.
The coach who lost the game.
Yeah, sorry, yeah.
Yeah, well, welcome to the unfair world in which we all live. Not everything is done perfectly right.
Yeah. So there we go.
Oh, wow. Little, we're way past time.
I know.
Scrape.
A little
what are you
abridged
doing
version of 30 Mile Zone.
Gwen and Chris comes back with one final segment. Stick around. All right. Did you hear the beginning of the show today? Bet you're sorry you missed it.
I'm not.
Especially if you're a soccer fan.
Yeah, that's why.
I had my way with soccer earlier.
No, you didn't have your way. It had no choice but to listen to you.
Yeah, that's true. welcome back. It's Gwen and Chris Crisello, Matt Scraby today, Odyssey Palace. Scraby's got the Chronicles coming up next. He'll have a daily gripe. It won't be as good as my gripe about overpriced food and drink. Once you get through TSA at the airport.
That's a pretty good one, I got to say. I'm a little jealous I didn't steal that one.
Yeah.
Last night's was, you know when you're walking your dog, Chris, and you see someone on the same side of the street you are, and they're coming at you?
Okay.
Whose job is it to move? Like, you're playing chicken until one of you goes across the street. And so I think
Has to walk across? Why does somebody have to walk across the street? Because your dog's going to bite them?
No, just because it's much easier for me when no other dogs are around. And so I think if
you're
you
talking about somebody else walking the other way with a dog and you have a dog
and I have my dog.
So somebody needs to go to the other side of the street.
Yeah. Well, who should do that? Is it the person with the bigger dog? Is it the person who?
I think it's just you.
Me?
Yeah, just you. You go to the other side.
God, it's such a scene. I walk three dogs, and they all wrap around my legs, and I fall, and it's just such a scene to get me across the street.
Kind of a silly gripe, honestly.
Oh. Okay.
I'm looking forward to today's gripe.
I'll tell you in the break, because you won't be here later, so. Or not in the break, but Sammy Levitt.
All right, Sammy Levitt was on the show earlier. He's in Peoria. He had a crazy, wild day. He told us about that. If you want to hear about that, you'll have to go back and listen to the original interview at 97.3 The Fan, the beginning. But we pick things up where Sammy and I talked about the Padres, which is probably what the rest of you want to hear about. And we do that after traffic. Let's talk about the Padres and what you're seeing at spring training. Here's where I want to go. I want to, by the time we're done here, have a pretty good idea. I don't need the batting order, but I want your thought on who you think the nine guys that'll be in the lineup on opening day are going to be. And I'm going to give you my guess along the way. Let's start a catcher, all right? I think we both agree Luis Campusano will be the opening day catcher.
Agreed.
Unless, you know, he's dinged up or something. They could certainly put Higashioka in there. First base will be Cronenworth. I don't think any argument there. Xander Bogaerts going to slide over to second base. I know he played shortstop yesterday, but he's going to be at second. Ha-Sung Kim will be at short. Now, the first question mark probably becomes at third base. Manny Machado has not played hardly any, if any, third base during spring. Am I correct?
That would be correct.
He's pretty much DH'd
exclusively. Yeah, well, he has taken ground balls and thrown, but there's been nothing that would indicate he's playing third base in Korea. So it looks like that's going to be a wait.
Yeah. I'm using Tony Gwynn's knowledge with my guess that Tyler Wade will play third base on opening day. He's a left-handed hitter. He's had a better spring than Matthew Batten. Do you agree with that, or do you think that's a reach?
I do. I don't think that competition is settled, per se, but I will say the fact that Wade's a lefty bat, the fact that he has a good amount of major league experience, he's had a pretty nice spring, I do feel more and more like the likelihood of him making this club is going up, and yes, Yes, I would. I have no problem with that.
No problem with that. All right, we'll start in right field because that's the easiest spot. We've got Fernando. Center field. It's, to me, it's between Azokar and Jackson Merrill. And for the reason that Jackson Merrill's left-handed, a little more exciting, I'm putting Jackson Merrill in center field on opening day.
Okay.
What do you think about that?
I agree with you.
Agree with that.
Wow.
All right. So we're down to left field.
This is the tough one.
You think this is the toughest one?
Well, look, I'll say this. Third base is a tough one because I don't think that's at all guaranteed the Wade part of it. It could be Rosario. It could be Batten. Both those guys play over there, so there's certainly a possibility. But left field, I couldn't tell you. You could tell me a few names and I believe you.
All right. Well, I'm going to go with Profar because he's the one legit guy that I know what I've got.
Sure.
So I'm putting him in left field. And then I got Manny DH'ing. So that's my nine for opening day against whoever the Dodgers' right-hander is, whether it's Glasnow or Yamamoto.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. What's interesting, even though I said I don't know who exactly I'd put in left field, say this, now that I'm really thinking about it, I may have more confidence that Jerks and Profar is going to be in left field than I do saying that Tyler Wade is necessarily going to be at third base.
Okay.
Just because of the fact that if it's not Jerks and Profar, then who is it? I mean, it's either a Cal Mitchell or an Oscar Mercado or a young guy like a Jacob Marcy, right? I mean, that's basically what your other options are.
You also could put Jackson Merrill in left, and you could start Azokar in center and have Profar come off the bench. I think that's another possibility.
You could, but let's read into this, though. Jackson Merrill hasn't played left in a while now.
Yeah,
spring training.
I know he's playing center.
He's basically playing exclusively center field. So I think that is one of those situations when you talk about as young as he is, as inexperienced as he is at the upper levels of the minor leagues, you're not putting him in center field every day if you don't intend him to play out there. And at this point, I don't think we're making any headlines. Be a starter out there in center field.
Okay.
So I will say this as far as Profar as well. You know, the fact that you paid him and he's here and you signed him, I just think that lends itself to you, and you know what you got in Jerks and Profar, essentially, you know, whatever he is or isn't. So, yes, I would lean towards Profar and left. Wade could be at third base. I don't know that that's a guarantee. I don't.
We don't know.
You know,
there are
other options there for sure. But I tend to agree with you for sure on Profar in left field right now, yes.
All right, so let's just say that I'm right, and that's the nine. Let's just, we'll use that as our base. Now we've got to find four or five other guys who are coming off the bench for opening day. And we know Higashioka's got to be one. Uh-huh. We're assuming Batten because he's gonna compete with Wade to play a third. And we're assuming Azokar is definitely going to be a backup in the outfield. Mm-hmm. So there's a couple of more spots. And there's so many guys in the running for these spots. I mean, if you have one extra infielder, is it going to be Rosario? Is it going to be Graham Pauly? Is it going to be Tucapita Marcano?
Mm-hmm.
Who do you give the edge to in the infield? Or is it going to be Brett Sullivan, who could be a third catcher and also play in the infield?
Well, look, I think the hard part about it, Chris, is that all these guys sort of fall into different categories and different situations, right? When you're talking about somebody like, let's say, a Brett Sullivan, well, that's carrying basically a third catcher on your roster, but essentially a third catcher that you don't expect to catch all that much, but it could free you up a little bit if there's days where you want to have Higashioka catching and Luis Camposano DH'ing, well, then you feel okay about it because at least Brett Sullivan's there. And the fact that Brett Sullivan has played some different spots and has played first base during this spring training, which the Padres, I mean, they need another guy one way or the other that can play some first base behind Jake Cronenworth. They have to have it, right? And I suppose Jerks and Profar fits in there as well. You know, he can play over there. We know that. But look, the fact that Sullivan's a left-handed bat, the fact that he can play some first base, it lends itself to an advantage for him. But I think the real question when you talk about this infield, outfield, bench spot situation when it comes to guys like, let's say, Marcy and Paulie. The question to me becomes, are the Padres, A, more inclined to let those guys go take at bats every day in the minor leagues and just roll with, let's say, guys like a Wade or a Mercado or a Batten? Or are they in a spot where they would be comfortable enough? Let's use Graham Pauly as an example, somebody who can play some different spots. He's played first base at spring training, a place he's never been before. I think that's worth noting and worth reading into because, well, why would he be over there if you're not thinking he could help you out there? But he's also somebody that can play third base. He's also somebody that can play left field, and he's had a really good spring. But I think the question, whether it's him or Marcy, is, would you be willing to use them in a role where they're not going to play every day?
Right.
Because, again, with as limited experience as they have in the upper levels in the minor leagues, and that just is what it is. It's a fact. They don't have a lot of at-bats up there at all. You know, are you going to put them in a position where they're not getting at-bats every day? I'm not sure, based on what Mike Schultz said a handful of days ago. I'm inclined to think that the Padres are going to be hesitant to put one of those guys in a position where they're not playing all that much. And I understand that. But that's the question to me. Do they roll that way? And what does that mean for those guys? What exactly does that role look like? Or are they more comfortable saying, okay, Jackson Merrill's going to be the one guy that we take and we're going to thrust into a starting spot, and it's a new position and all of it, and we know all the benefits and possible concerns that come from that, and roll with, you know, some guys that have some major league experience, whether that's Batten, whether that's Wade, whether that's Mercado, whether that's Mitchell, whether that's LeCastro now. I mean, you're right. There are a ton, and I mean a ton, of names outside that duo of Marcy and Pauly that you're considering for those spots. And I know this is a long answer here, but with Pauly, the thing that's interesting to me is, number one, he's had a really good spring, but he can play some different spots. You know, so whereas Marcy, you know, yeah, he could play some center, he's played a little left, and he's been out there at spring training. But Pauly, to me, is the really intriguing case right now, because I know the Padres have really liked what he's done. He's a college hitter that has experience, even though he doesn't have a ton of at-bats at AA, and he can play some different spots. So, I think looking at the bench spots is tough right now, and I think it's not only about the production at spring training, what you think you're going to get out of these guys, but I do think in the cases of your young prospects, Pauly and Marcy, it is also about, do you have them in a position where they're going to get at bats? Because if they're not, that's kind of a problem. It really is for guys that you really may rely on moving forward,
yeah,
whether it's in the next couple of months or later on this year or in the next 4 to 5 years. I mean, you have to be very careful with that. So, Chris, with a week to go until they head to Korea, I don't know that many of those answers yet are very clear.
Yeah, I think that's a good way of putting it all. Sam Levitt from Peoria, where he got shut out of his day at the Scottsdale Day Spa because of the rain. I really want to know whether you get your money back. I mean, honestly, I feel like I have something invested in this now. Will you send us a text or let Scraby or somebody know?
I don't want anything to do with it.
Well, just put it up on Twitter.
I don't know.
I think everybody listening out there wants you to get your money back. And if you don't get your money back, we want to know the name of the establishment that didn't give you your money back so that we can put some pressure on these guys.
Well, we'll see. Maybe one of those scenarios where I just made a... I made an error, because I will say on the website of this company that sells these resort passes, it literally has something about bad weather, and it says something to the effect of, hey, you got to check the forecast before you go.
Yeah.
So they may be primed to shut you down on that, but
I'm not,
if all else
it,
fails,
Sammy.
I may be summoning your wife for some help.
Well, to send me a note and I will get her on the case. Sammy, thanks so much.
Okay.
As always, we'll talk to you in the next few days.
Take care.
Enjoy the rest of your off day.
All right, see you guys.
Sam Levitt, he never got back to us. I don't know whether he got his money back or not. If you want to hear the whole story, like I said, you can hear the beginning of the interview at our website, 973thefansd.com. This in from the Dodgers. Dodgers saying that Gavin Lux is going to have to play a little better defense or he could lose his job at shortstop.
What?
Dodgers had Miguel Rojas there last year. Rojas doesn't hit as well as Lux, but the Dodgers don't care. They got enough hitting already.
That's true.
They might go with Miguel Rojas at short. Gavin Lux is not a sure thing.
Wow.
Something to keep an eye on. Padres-Dodgers open the season less than 2 weeks from today in Korea. Scraby's Chronicles are next. Thanks for being with us today. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Gwen and Chris on 97.3 The Fan. So long. Let's talk about the Padres and what you're seeing at spring training. Here's where I want to go. I want to, by the time we're done here, have a pretty good idea. I don't need the batting order, but I want your thought on who you think the nine guys that'll be in the lineup on opening day are going to be. And I'm going to give you my guess along the way. Let's start a catcher. All right. I think we both agree Luis Campusano will be the opening day catcher.
Agreed.
Unless, you know, he's dinged up or something, they could certainly put Higashioka in there. First base will be Cronenworth. I don't think any argument there. Xander Bogaerts going to slide over to second base. I know he played shortstop yesterday, but he's going to be at second. Ha-Seong Kim will be at short. Now, the first question mark probably becomes at third base. Manny Machado has not played hardly any, if any, third base during spring. Am I correct?
That would be correct.
He's pretty much DH'd
exclusively. He has taken ground balls and thrown, but there's been nothing that would indicate he's playing third base in Korea.
So
it looks like that's going to be a wait.
Yeah. I'm using Tony Gwynn's knowledge with my guess that Tyler Wade will play third base on opening day. He's a left-handed hitter. He's had a better spring than Matthew Batten. Do you agree with that, or do you think that's a reach?
I do. I don't think that competition is settled, per se, but I will say the fact that Wade's a lefty bat, the fact that he has a good amount of major league experience, he's had a pretty nice spring, I do feel more and more like the likelihood of him making this club is going up, and yes, I have no problem with that.
No problem with that. All right, we'll start in right field because that's the easiest spot. We've got Fernando. Center field, it's between Azokar and Jackson Merrill. And for the reason that Jackson Merrill's left-handed, a little more exciting, I'm putting Jackson Merrill in center field on opening day.
Okay.
What do you think about that?
I agree with you.
Agree with that.
Wow.
All right. So we're down to left field.
This is the tough one.
You think this is the toughest one?
Well, look, I'll say this. Third base is a tough one because I don't think that's at all guaranteed, the Wade part of it. It could be Rosario. It could be Batten. Both those guys play over there, so there's certainly a possibility. But left field, I couldn't tell you. You could tell me a few names, and I believe you.
All right, well, I'm going to go with Profar because he's the one legit guy that I know what I've got.
Sure.
So I'm putting him in left field. And then I got Manny DHing. So that's my nine for opening day against whoever the Dodgers' right-hander is, whether it's Glasnow or Yamamoto.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. What's interesting, even though I said I don't know who exactly I'd put in left field, say this, now that I'm really thinking about it, I may have more confidence that Jerks and Profar is going to be in left field than I do saying that Tyler Wade is necessarily going to be at third base.
Okay.
Just because of the fact that if it's not Jerks and Profar, then who is it? I mean, it's either a Cal Mitchell or an Oscar Mercado or a young guy like a Jacob Marcy, right? I mean, that's basically what your other options are.
You also could put Jackson Merrill in left, and you could start Azokar in center and have Profar come off the bench. I think that's another possibility.
You could, but let's read into this, though. Jackson Merrill hasn't played left in a while now.
Yeah,
spring training.
I know he's playing center.
He's basically playing exclusively center field. So I think that is one of those situations when you talk about as young as he is, as inexperienced as he is at the upper levels of the minor leagues, you're not putting him in center field every day if you don't intend him to play out there. And at this point, I don't think we're making any headlines. Be a starter out there in center field.
Okay.
So I will say this as far as Profar as well. You know, the fact that you paid him and he's here and you signed him, I just think that lends itself to you, and you know what you got in Jurickson Profar, essentially, you know, whatever he is or isn't. So, yes, I would lean towards Profar and Lift. Wade could be a third base. I don't know that that's a guarantee. I don't.
We don't know.
You know,
we're
there,
not
are, there are other options there for sure. But I tend to agree with you for sure on Profar and left field right now. Yes.
All right. So let's just say that I'm right, and that's the nine. Let's just we'll use that as our base. Now we've got to find four or five other guys who are coming off the bench for opening day, and we know Higashioka's got to be one. Uh-huh. We're assuming Batten because he's gonna compete with Wade to play a third. And we're assuming a Zokar is definitely going to be a backup in the outfield. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So there's a couple of more spots. And there's so many guys in the running for these spots. I mean, if you have one extra infielder, yeah. Is it going to be Rosario? Is it going to be Graham Pauly? Is it going to be Tucapita Marcano? Mm-hmm. Who do you give the edge to in the infield? Or is it going to be Brett Sullivan, who could be a third catcher and also play in the infield?
Well, look, I think the hard part about it, Chris, is that all these guys sort of fall into different categories and different situations, right? When you're talking about somebody like, let's say, a Brett Sullivan, well, that's carrying basically a third catcher on your roster, but essentially a third catcher that you don't expect to catch all that much, but it could free you up a little bit if there's days where you want to have Higashioka catching and Luis Camposano DHing, well, then you feel okay about it because at least Brett Sullivan's there. And the fact that Brett Sullivan has played some different spots and has played first base during this spring training, which the Padres, I mean, they need another guy one way or the other that can play some first base behind Jake Cronenworth. They have to have it, right? And I suppose Jurickson Profar fits in there as well. You know, he can play over there. We know that. But look, the fact that Sullivan's a left-handed bat, the fact that he can play some first base, yes. Lends itself to an advantage for him. But I think the real question when you talk about this infield, outfield, bench spot situation when it comes to guys like, let's say, Marcy and Pauly, the question to me becomes, are the Padres, A, more inclined to let those guys go take at bats every day in the minor leagues and just roll with, let's say, guys like a Wade or a Mercado or a Batten? Or are they in a spot where they would be comfortable enough? Let's use Graham Pauly as an example, somebody who can play some different spots. He's played first base at spring training, a place he's never been before. I think that's worth noting and worth reading into because, well, why would he be over there if you're not thinking he could help you out there? But he's also somebody that can play third base. He's also somebody that can play left field, and he's had a really good spring. But I think the question, whether it's him or Marcy, is would you be willing to use them in a role where they're not going to play every day?
Right.
Because, again, with as limited experience as they have in the upper levels in the minor leagues, and that just is what it is. It's a fact. They don't have a lot of at-bats up there at all. You know, are you going to put them in a position where they're not getting at bats every day? I'm not sure based on what Mike Schilt said a handful of days ago. I'm inclined to think that the Padres are going to be hesitant to put one of those guys in a position where they're not playing all that much. And I understand that. But that's the question to me. Do they roll that way? And what does that mean for those guys? What exactly does that role look like? Or are they more comfortable saying, okay, Jackson Merrill's going to be the one guy that we take and we're going to thrust into a starting spot and it's a new position and all of it, and we know all the benefits and possible concerns that come from that, and roll with, you know, some guys that have some major league experience, whether that's Batten, whether that's Wade, whether that's Mercado, whether that's Mitchell, whether that's LeCastro now. I mean, you're right. There are a ton, and I mean a ton, of names outside that duo of Marcy and Pauly that you're considering for those spots. And I know this is a long answer here, but with Pauly, the thing that's interesting to me is, number one, he's had a really good spring, but he can play some different spots, you know? So whereas Marcy, you know, yeah, he could play some center, he's played a little left, and he's been out there at spring training. But Pauly, to me, is the really intriguing case right now, because I know the Padres have really liked what he's done. He's a college hitter that has experience, even though he doesn't have a ton of at-bats at AA, and he can play some different spots. So, I think looking at the bench spots is tough right now, and I think it's not only about the production at spring training, what you think you're going to get out of these guys, but I do think in the cases of your young prospects, Paulie and Marcy, it is also about, do you have them in a position where they're going to get at-bats? Because if they're not, that's kind of a problem. It really is for guys that you really may rely on moving forward, whether it's in the next couple of months or later on this year or in the next 4 to 5 years. I mean, you have to be very careful with that. So, Chris, with a week to go until they head to Korea, I don't know that many of those answers yet are very clear.
Yeah, I think that's a good way of putting it all. Sam Levitt from Peoria, where he got shut out of his day at the Scottsdale Day Spa because of the rain. I really want to know whether you get your money back. I mean, honestly, I feel like I have something invested in this now. Will you send us a text or let Scraby or somebody know?
I don't want anything to do with it.
Well, just put it up on Twitter.
I don't know.
I think everybody listening out there wants you to get your money back. And if you don't get your money back, we want to know the name of the establishment that didn't give you your money back so that we can put some pressure on these guys.
Well, we'll see. Maybe one of those scenarios where I just made an error, because I will say on the website of this company that sells these resort passes, it literally has something about bad weather, and it says something to the effect of, hey, you got to check the forecast before you go. So they may be primed to shut you down on that, but
I'm not,
if all else fails,
Sammy.
I may be summoning your wife for some help.
I'll just send me a note and I will get her on the case. Sammy, thanks so much. Okay. As always, we'll talk to you in the next few days.
Thank
Take
you,
care.
Sammy.
Enjoy the rest of your off day.
All right. See you guys.
Sam Levitt, he never got back to us. I don't know whether he got his money back or not. If you want to hear the whole story, like I said, you can hear the beginning of the interview at our website, 973thefansd.com. This in from the Dodgers. Dodgers saying that Gavin Lux is going to have to play a little better defense or he could lose his job at shortstop.
What?
Dodgers had Miguel Rojas there last year. Rojas doesn't hit as well as Lux, but the Dodgers don't care. They got enough hitting already.
That's true.
They might go with Miguel Rojas at short. Gavin Lux is not a sure thing.
Wow.
Something to keep an eye on. Padres Dodgers open the season less than 2 weeks from today in Korea. Scraby's Chronicles are next. Thanks for being with us today. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Gwen and Chris on 97.3 The Fan. So long.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.